So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
All right, I think we got everything situated there. I have sorry about my phone ringing. I have it on do not disturb, but I have the kids and Katrina on. You know, they go straight through no matter what. So so Jake was calling me on his way home from work to talk. So I'll catch up with him in a little while. But it's good to see y'all. Good to see you, Brother Nathan, and y'all safe return. And I was going to wait and shake your hand afterwards, but your smile was just too big. I had to come shake it. So I appreciate you coming. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for how you lead us step by step, Lord. How we don't want it any other way, Lord. We want to each day, Lord, follow you by faith, by walking after the word that you've given us. Every situation, we have the word for that situation. And Lord, may it come forth from us because it's living in us. You, Lord, living in us. And Lord, we pray that it will be that tonight, both the hearer and the listener, and that we will find that we are satisfied by your word, Lord. We ask it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We're still talking a little bit about the building, but I think we'll probably pick that up in earnest Sunday. But we're still going to talk about the building a little bit tonight. And especially this first thing I wrote down here, this little statement. Brother Bram said that the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And if the church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, then what is it built upon? It's built upon the whole Bible, the revelation of the whole Bible. It will take that whole Bible to complete it. If it's built on that, if it's built on the revelation of who he is, it's going to take that whole Bible to complete it. And we know that because we looked through the seven church ages. We know how Brother Branham talked about how that the book of life, there was two parts in it. One is your natural life and one is your spiritual. And one grows out to the other one. So it's all the revelation. It's all that God's doing. And so let's go to this first quote here. I was reading this quote again yesterday, I think it was. And I was kind of, it was early this morning. I had done read it so many times because people refer to it about the foolish virgins. And I missed the last line or two there because that's really, to me, that's the significance there. So let's just read this. This is a question that Brother Branham was given in 1964. And so they're asking Brother Branham, when you use the expression that if we do not believe the word, we will be eternally separated from Christ, do you mean the foolish virgin will live eternally, but they will be separated from the New Jerusalem where Jesus will dwell with the bride? Now, that's not what he meant. Because he said, if you didn't believe the word, you're eternally separated. In fact, not saying what the foolish virgins are or aren't. He said those that come in at the second resurrection, if they didn't repent, their name was off the book to begin with. So not going down that path. But let's look at this here. Hang on 1 second. All right, we'll just... trust it's still recording. All right. but they will be separated from the New Jerusalem where Christ will dwell with the bride. Here are those who do not have the Holy Spirit. See, they're making two different statements here, that one is true and one isn't true. Because Brother Branham said those that come in at the second resurrection, they don't already have eternal life. Because if they already had eternal life, he said they would be in the bride. And so, but they asked the question here at the beginning, if we do not believe the word. So that's a completely different question. But they ran them together because in their mind, that's the same thing. They're running them together. Here are those who do not have the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, born again, as the scripture speaks of being born again. If the natural birth, now here's where let's get to this. If the natural birth requires water, blood, and spirit, does not the spiritual birth require all three stages of grace? So, water, blood, and spirit is three stages of grace. All of them are grace. Remember that word, grace. Before, all these three stages of grace take place before the person is truly born again. So Chris, you can't read that. That's not what it means. So just hang with me and we'll read to see if that's what it means. Remember what Brother Branham told us? Remember that little series we took? Zero comes after Laodicea. Remember Brother Branham said that the church ages were the countdown, and he counts up to seven, and then after the Laodicea comes zero, which was, in his example, was the age where we lift off. So, all right. Absolutely. I just explained that this morning. The same. So what he's saying absolutely to is that it takes three stages of grace. Okay. So he's not talking about the other there. I just explained that this morning, the same on the same thing. You got to have all three stages. You're begotten of the Spirit. So in these stages, you're begotten. You're not born in the stages, you're begotten. What does begotten mean? That means it's come together and it's began to grow. But it hasn't been born yet. And what is it Brother Bam said it took in Things That Are To Be and some of these others? He talked about how that whenever you a woman is pregnant, that somewhere along the line there, she'll start craving certain kinds of food. That's the baby that's building. It's not been born yet, so it's still growing. It's been begotten, and it's growing from that begotten. So that's what he's talking about. We've got to have all three stages. You're begotten of the Spirit. Just like a baby's begotten in the womb of a mother, but not born. None of them three stages of grace are being born. They're all begotten. They receive the Holy Ghost. And when you're born is when you receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, it's still the Holy Ghost what did he say he was begotten by? The Holy Ghost. But you don't receive the Holy Ghost. You don't born until you're born. You're born then. You're not converted. I'm sorry, let's back up. But not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. You're born then when you receive the Holy Ghost. You're not converted. You're in the process of being converted until that time. So begotten means they're in the process of being converted. That's the reason that all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther. So here's a revelation that they could not receive because they were not what? Born. They'd only been begotten. And so there was no way to receive it until they're born. And that's the reason that all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther, could not be given to Wesley, could not be given to the age that just passed us by, the Pentecostal age. Now you think about this. All them ages, they were not born again. They were begotten of the Spirit, and they were coming forth. Brother Branham said they were being converted. But yet, how was that taking place? In Luther's day, how did they recognize who Luther was? How did Luther recognize what the truth was? It was predestinated in him to do it. It was predestinated in them to recognize that. So that begotten was recognizing that, whether they had been born again or not. I hope that makes sense. Just like the little woman back there before Jesus ever died. And Brother Branham said that that Holy Spirit being made manifest there in front of her struck her predestination. It didn't strike anything else because she'd not been born again. It struck the predestination, and that predestination forced something out. It brought something into being that all the way she was born would not have produced. All the years of her life had not produced it. But when that word hit, it produced something else, contrary to her flesh, contrary to all her thinking and stuff. It just came. Could not be given to Wesley. So he's talking about some great mysteries. What great mysteries is he talking about? That could not be given to Luther, could not be given to Wesley, could not be given to the age that just passed us by us, the Pentecostal age. Why? It wasn't time. It wasn't time. They weren't at the right stage to receive it. They were begotten. They were begotten but not born. Now the person of Christ himself, the Son of Man, you understand, revealing himself in human flesh, it could not come till now. Think about that birth that he's talking about. You couldn't. There's no begottens anymore. It's born. And you think of what he's identifying, the Son of Man, revealing himself in human flesh. It could not come till now. And that's a message. That's a message. And the message always comes to the prophet first. Is that right? It always comes, the word always comes to the prophet first. So he both the messenger and the message is the same. All right, so this is in the Church Ages book. Let's just bring this back up so that we've talked about Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, but what about the other ages? Were they any more than begotten, or were they born also? And let's ask. No, the whole title of the message is, when does the bride take his name? Because that sometimes it looks like it's when you're baptized. That's when you take his name. Well, let's see if that's true. The church was in the first age already, a fallen woman. So the very first church age was a fallen woman. Brother Branham said, if you've been born of the Spirit, not begotten, born of it, you can't fall. You can't be deceived. You can't do these things. But the first church age was already a fallen woman. And as Satan had gotten to Eve before Adam, even now had Satan seduced the church, the bride of Christ, before the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember, he's very specific now. What happened? How did he do it? He did it before the marriage supper. So the marriage supper had not took place in the first age either. And I'm bringing up the marriage supper and the marriage here, and you'll see why here soon. And that specifically was in her midst. And what specifically was in her midst that caused that fall, or the fall? What but Revelations 2:6? The deeds of the Nicolaitans, they were already leaning to a person instead of God. Mm-hmm. Instead of depending totally on God, not that God didn't use men, but they had begun to lean to the man. So they didn't have to wait on God. They could just take what the man said and go on. Could have been the man was saying their truth. But they were dependent on it because he told it to them and not because God told it to them. And if you don't think that matters, then we'll read something here in just a few minutes. The deeds of the Nicolaitans. Already the first age had turned from following the pure word of God. Did that mean they were teaching something different? They were still baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them. But they had already turned away from the pure word of God. And what does that mean? They turned from God's demand of a church absolutely dependent upon him. That's what they had turned away from. Dependent upon him to bring his word. Dependent upon him to be true to his word. Depending entirely upon God to fulfill his word from the start to the finish. Not almost get there and then just decide to help him at the end. All the way from the start to the finish. Apart from human government. Isn't that something? Apart from human government, he is going to finish his word. And yet Brother Branham said that God in Jesus Christ revealing the word is what God in Peter recognized. Two men, God acting in them. One looking at the other by the revelation, not by, you know, proof or infallible ideas or this fact and this fact and this fact, but because God told him who he was. And God will tell us all the word that way, not just, and that's what the revelation was, who he is. And we can't know those things unless God shows us those things. No matter how much we read the Bible, no matter how much we study and pray, we get all that we are and all that we have from Jesus Christ. Yes. To Nicolaitism, that's what they turn to, which is organizing a human government within the church, which, as all governments do, legislate for the people. They did exactly that in Israel. They did exactly what Israel did. They took the expediency of human government. And remember what he's talking to me, you know what he's talking about there when he said the same thing as Israel did. What did they want? They had a prophet, but they wanted a king. They wanted to lean just a little like the world. They wanted to do it a little like the world. When God had given them the way he wanted them to do it, they, because they didn't look good going into battle, they looked a little different. They started worrying about this flesh and how they looked to unbelievers. They did exactly what Israel did. They took the expediency of human government instead of the word and the spirit. All right, so let's go here in this message. Works is faith expressed. Faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. That's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. This is what faith is. Knowing what God's word says, knowing how it applies to you, knowing that he is bringing it to pass, all that is a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. He says that he's not willing that any should perish. So it's free to all. It was free. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You ever have faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you Therefore, faith is a revelation, and the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. Revelation of who? Jesus is. A Baptist minister told me not long ago, he said, "I just can't accept revelation." I said, "Then you cannot accept the Bible. You cannot accept Christ, because he is the revelation of God." That's what we're built on. He's God revealed in flesh. Therefore, the whole church is built upon divine revelation. Every last age was that way. Jesus said to, I believe it was Peter, he said, "Who does men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He was talking to his disciples, and some said, "You're Elias, and Moses, and one of the prophets, and Jeremiah." See, they all got all kind of ideas about who he is. Some of it's based on their idea of the Bible. Some of them called him Beelzebub. These are ones calling him nice names. But then there was the ones calling him the worst names. Now, he wasn't Jeremiah. He wasn't Moses. He wasn't all these. Brother Rem said he was all the prophets. He said, "But who do you say?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the anointed, the Son of the living God." Now, the Roman Catholic Church says he was speaking to Peter. "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." The Protestant said he was building it upon himself. Got really close, didn't he? Now, they could be right, but to me, both of them's wrong. It was upon the spiritual revelation of who he was. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter. You didn't work this up, Peter. "But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, upon my Father in heaven, revealing to you Jesus Christ, who I am, the revelation of who he is. Upon the revelation, he is the Word. And the whole, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it." It showed that the gates of hell would be against it. The gates of hell, that means like the strongest point. Everything, all they got, all their power and force, that's going to be against it. Against that. And it proved it, because it immediately started in the first church age. Even Paul called it. Abel by faith, revelation. No Bible written in those days. By faith, by Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that which came. And God testified he was righteous. Now, by faith. How? By revelation. By revelation. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him. So God, does that seem a little unfair to a human being? It might seem a little unfair. He come down and told Abel what to do and didn't tell Cain. But then after Cain saw that God accepted Abel, what happened? Cain got upset, and God said, "Well, don't get upset. Do like your brother and I'll accept it." But he knew he wasn't going to do it. Cain wanted recognition to him, not God. Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, just like his father, Satan. "I'll build a kingdom greater than Michael's." Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field, it was the blood And I read some time ago where Brother Branham said Eve took him to the side and told him what happened. Told him what happened. And from that, Abel got the right revelation and Cain didn't get any. That's why some people can believe it and some can't believe it. Some try to make believe it. In an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you find some that they're good people, we'll say. There's some that's trying hard to believe it, trying to work themselves into it. He said, you can't do that. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now, there's the difference. One is by grace, it's given to them. The others, they try to do it themselves. Now, there is the difference, see? What? That does it. That's the real revelation. Because faith is the revelation from God. A revelation from God, it must be revealed first. Jesus clearly expressed this when he said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first and reveals me to him first. He can't even come. Now, Peter, what did Peter do? Even though Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, what did Peter do? He denied him. He denied him three times. But it doesn't matter that God had revealed to him who he was right there. Now, there's greater revelation, but that's he done shown him. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first or reveals me to him first. Now, we read about, and I don't know if I got it in here or not, but he talked about the rich young ruler. See, the rich young ruler saw something about Jesus, and he tried to come on his own. He tried to come to Jesus and figure it out. And when Jesus told him, why hadn't it already been revealed to this man, to the rich young man, ruler? Is that what his name was, rich young ruler? And Brother Branham said, the scripture says that he looked upon the young man with love. Because this man wanted to know, what must I do to attain eternal life? Now, it hadn't been, he just saw something about Jesus. And he come to him, so Jesus told him. Brother Bram said that Jesus knew that he hoarded his money. I just read that today. Brother Bram said that Jesus said he knew that he hoarded his money. He hoarded his money, so that was his money was his. It's where he worshiped. That's where he put his confidence in, was his money. And so Jesus knew he had to put his confidence where he just told him. It has to be in Christ. And so he told him, go sell what you got and give it to the poor and then come follow me. And Brother Branham said he hung his head. He couldn't do that. He kept all the Ten Commandments all of his life and done all these things. He said, I've observed them from my youth, but that I can't do. And I hate to say it, but the message in the Bible world, the church world, is full of it. Absolutely full of it. They've observed rules and they've observed things that the prophet said that we should do and observe. The girls wearing clothes like they should and dressing like them. The men not doing things they shouldn't be doing and things, cutting their hair and not wearing it long like girls and trying to act like girls, like Brother Ram talked about them, curling up their hair and stuff. But they'll do all that. But when it comes to letting him have it, to selling what they got, quit depending on that and give it to him, there's very little of that. You ought to read that. And he talks about the scripture he's talking about. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet. So they didn't have a revelation. But he was doing these things, so they started questioning him. And we went through some of those where they started questioning him. He was the prophet. He was the prophet. He was an ordinary man, but there was more than that. Just like last night, when you get the book, you're going to see maybe a little confusion there of what I said, the two books of life. It's the same book. But one of them is your natural life. One of them is your natural life. The other one is your spiritual birth. The first one's not your spiritual birth, it's your natural life. Although we come forth and it's a spiritual thing, and if we stayed that way, we die and go to hell. But he's calling that a natural birth, that first one. And he talks about us growing up through that first one. One leads out to the other. One part of the book of life leads out to the other part of the book of life. One leads out to the other just like a stalk of wheat. Whenever you talk to me as a living person. But there's a part of me here is that person that must perish. Remember him talking about when he was born, there was a William Branham, but way down in there was another William Branham. That's the book that the name comes off of. But the eternal one, the predestinated one, the elected one, not the natural part of the book. He's talking about the book of life. I hope we're not going too fast on this. And he's telling us which one perishes, which one has to die. That's the book that the name comes off of. But the eternal one, the predestinated one, the elected one, the Lamb's book of life, the name never can come from there because it was always on it. It was always predestinated there in Christ. It can never be taken off. You'll notice it in the book, so to save you confusion, you'll find it that way. Because I think Brother Vail, who put the right grammar to it, reminded me of it the other day. That's right. The Baptists believe there's two separate books. And in one way, it is two separate books. And in another way, it isn't two separate books. I'm two separate people. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Three separate people. But only one makes me as a being. There's only one real book of life. Like there was one germ of wheat that come up through the stalk and went through the tassel. See what he's talking about? The one germ of wheat that went through the tassel, through the husk, and into the wheat. So he's talking about these two books still. He's still talking about them. The natural one. Remember what we said at the very beginning. I don't want you to miss how I'm trying to draw a parallel here. Because at the very beginning, we talked about how that he said, well, let's go back and read it real quick. Let's see. Absolutely. Okay. You have got to have all stages. You're begotten of the Spirit. Just like a baby's begotten in the womb of a mother, but not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. And what did he say? The first one is your natural birth. And what is the next one? Your spiritual birth. That's not, but not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. You're born then, not converted. You're in the process of being converted until that time. Now, look what he does. He goes right straight to the stalk. And he's talking about these messages that are coming through the plant. That's the reason that all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther. See, they couldn't come to that new birth. They were coming through the stalk. I hope that you can see the parallel now. could not be given to Wesley, could not be given to the age that just passed us by. Why? It wasn't time. They were begotten. And so then he goes on and talks. Now, but let's go on back down here. If I can find my spot here. Life. Like there was one germ of wheat that come up through the stalk and went through the tassel and out through the husk and into the wheat. Now, Brother Branham said that Jesus was the wheat and he went down in the ground and came back up. And he said the church had to go down in the ground. And he said that church is what sprouted. I'll read it to you here in just a minute. I think I got it in here. I might have. If not, I'll send it. There was one germ of the wheat that come up through the stalk and went through the tassel, out through the husk, and into the wheat. All the way along there, you say, now, that's a wheat laying there. It isn't the wheat. It's begotten, but it's not born yet. It isn't the wheat, it's the stalk, but together it's the wheat. All the stalk comes forth, and then what happens? Then comes the wheat. It's the life, Brother Ram said, passing through the plant. See, that's the wheat because it's all one stalk. Now, he's comparing it to the book. He said sometimes it looks like two different books, and sometimes it's not two different books. But the wheat is what you're talking about. The grain at the end of it. There's the... He said one grows out to the other one. The others was a carrier. It must perish. And that's the one place sounds like you can have your name taken off the Lamb's Book of Life. And the other place, you can't do it. So there, that's where it is. Now, there's a true bride that's coming through there, all the way through there. I'm not trying to say there wasn't, okay? So just to be clear. So that's where it is. That's all in that great revelation there, which was made known during the time of the seven seals. It was made known during the time of the seven seals how those two books were one book. And not only that, he talks about the natural there and the spiritual. That was made known. None of that had been made known until the seals were open. Why is it that some people can't believe it? Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that the Father has given me will come to me. No man can understand who he is or how it is except it be revealed to you by the revelation of God. And the faith in that, you act accordingly. See, here we see plainly that God is revealed in Jesus. And only those who were foreordained to see it, only those who were foreordained to see God revealed in Jesus, will see it. Only those that were foreordained to see God revealed in Luther, to see him revealed in Wesley. Be sure to read this scripture that I omitted it then, that John 6:44-46. I omitted it because I thought maybe we'd have maybe not enough time to go through. So you notice, no man can come except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me, they will come. They'll recognize it. No other man can do it. No other man can come except those that the Father has wrote there in that book for that. They'll recognize it. No other man can do it. No other person, no matter how good, who you are, it's got to be revealed to you. Then you see who Jesus Christ is. He's going all the way back around to that now. Now, here, predestinated plan is in plain view. Just as other seed, the word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. Only those who he has fixed to see it will see it. He that hath an ear, let him hear. As many as would receive him, gave he the power to become. All those different places in the scripture. Just throw it out there on the ground, it would do no good. Can't just throw it on unprepared ground. It has to be prepared ground. To prove that, Brother Branham gave the example so many times when Jesus was Jesus in front of the people, the Sadducees and Pharisees, it didn't do a bit of good. All they did was argue with him. In there on the ground, and then tried to kill him. It would do no good. The birds would pick it up. You throw it in among thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. And what did Jesus say when we read this last time? I go away to prepare a place. And what's preparing? What prepares the ground? The word prepares the ground. So the ground has to be made ready first. So God in sovereign grace prepares the heart first. Is that right? He prepares it first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. Now he had prepared Moses to receive him. And Moses tried to go to him at 40. And that wasn't time. Moses wasn't prepared yet. He had to go out on the desert for 40 more years before then he could receive it. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore he prepared you. He knew you, therefore he prepared you. Don't miss that. When you come to this message, it's a precious thing, brother. But remember, the elected, predestinated, foreordained covenant at Abraham and his group got a messenger. Now he's coming down to our day. Watch what he did. He gave them a sign that the time was near for the fire to fall. Abraham, Elohim, gave him a sign back there. Now it's fire now. We're looking for atomic fire, the wrath of God. Now that messenger did something. He spoke about a woman that he had his back turned to and told her she was doubting what he was saying. Told her her conditions and what was going to happen. Is that right? Did he say that the Son of Man would reveal himself in the same way in that day? Well, do you believe that's the truth? Well, here stands a woman. And in the invisible union of the church, the bride to Christ, that union, the bride being joined to Christ, that messenger is here now, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That messenger's here. That union is taking place. This he preached this one after the invisible union. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He only speaks through his prophets. Look where he goes immediately. He's here, and he only speaks through his prophets. Remember what we read the last time? He said it was a dove-led eagle. And what was the beast for that last, the fourth church age, or the fourth messenger? It was the eagle. Dove-led eagle. He only speaks through his prophets. The Bible said so. He never does anything, but first he makes it known to his prophets. He always has done it. He never changes his pattern. See? And the prophet can only speak if he's true what the God, what God tells him. Is that right? That's true. And how in the world anybody would try to correct Brother Branham knowing that? All right, in leadership, we're getting close to the bottom here. Notice, he knew it was there. He believed in it and wanted it. Okay, so I did put this in here about the rich young ruler. So he knew it was there. He believed in it and he wanted it. But when he was confronted with how he had to do it, it was different from his ritual. See, he could go out there and read those Ten Commandments and keep those Ten Commandments, and but he knew something was missing still. It was different. He could hold his money. He could hold his money and belong on to the church that he belonged to, and so forth. So he could keep hoarding his money and stay with the church he was with, or he could turn it loose and go with the Lord. But Jesus knew that and knew that he had hoarded his money. And he said, go sell all you got and give it to the poor. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And you know, that man had a bunch, but there's a whole lot of people who haven't got much of anything. And they still won't give that up and following. It's only by grace. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And they'll have treasure, and you'll have treasures in heaven. But he couldn't do it. The other leaders that he had in his youthful days had such an influence on him. See who had the influence on him? The ones that he had listened to coming up. They had such a control on him that when the Holy Spirit spoke to him, he couldn't turn and listen to it. And such an influence on him until he refused to accept God's provided way. He come to him and asked him because he knew something was different there and still turned it down. Had such an influence on him till he refused to accept God's provided way, which was Jesus Christ. The only one who holds eternal life. The only one that can give you it. Not the church can give you eternal life. Not your neighbor. Not your pastor. Not your priest. Not your creed. Only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. Now does that say something different than what Brother Branham said when he said that a son of God can impart eternal life? No, it's not. Go look up what it means. Go look up the word impart. It doesn't say this. Because Brother Branham said, your neighbor's not going to give it to you. Your church is not going to give it to you. Your pastor's not going to give it to you. Your priest ain't going to give it to you. Only Jesus Christ is going to give it to you. No matter how good you are, what you quit doing, now listen to this. There's a whole lot of people struggles with this. No matter how good you are, what you quit doing, what you start doing. You didn't go to church and you start going to church. You smoked cigarettes and you quit smoking cigarettes. Doesn't matter about that. You got to accept the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to realize that when he said he took your place, that you can stand where he stood, sinless, before God. And then when you do that, he is the Word, and then your life fits right in the Word. And it manifests itself to this age that you're living in. The Christ of this age, that Word of this age is in you, and it manifests to this age. Noah had to do that for the word to be manifested in his age. Now, if Moses come along and said, you know what Noah done? We'll take Noah's word. We'll do it just the way Noah did it. We'll build an ark float down the Nile and go out of Egypt. Why? It wouldn't have worked. See, that was another age. So there's a message for every age. Jesus couldn't have come with Moses' message. Luther couldn't have come with the Catholic message. Wesley couldn't have come with Luther's message. The Pentecostals couldn't come with Wesley age message. And the bride can't be formed, cannot be formed. Look how he changed the word there. The bride can't be formed in the Pentecostal denomination. Just can't do it. Why? Because the life left it. It left the plant and it went into the wheat. Just can't do it. And that's exactly right. She's done organized and went out here, and there she sits, just like the rest of them. It's a shuck. Just like the life comes through, up through, see? The first corn of wheat, the bridegroom, had to fall into the earth in order to rise again. He rose again, and we rose in him, Brother Branham said. So did the first bride that was born at Pentecost have to go through the dark ages like any other seed, be buried. They had to die. They must do it. But it started sprouting again in Luther in the first Reformation. It didn't take long. Look, it didn't look like the seed that went in. Luther didn't look like that Paul's age. It didn't look like the seed that went in, but it was the light of that day. The stalk then went on into the tassel, Wesley. And the tassel went on into the Pentecostal, the shuck. And when you see into the wheat, when it comes forth, the corn of wheat, a man that's raised wheat, you go out and see what wheat form in there. It looks just exactly like the grain. Remember, he said that the bride couldn't form in the Pentecost. But if you take a tweezer and sit down and take that wheat and open it up, there's no grain in there at all. It's just a shuck. And then what? It's formed there to hold the grain. See? And then the first thing you know, the life left the stalk to go into the tassel, left the tassel to go into the shuck, and the leaves, it leaves the shuck and goes into the wheat. Three stages, see, of it. And then forms the wheat outside of the three stages. Not in the three stages of grace. The wheat forms outside the three stages of grace. Remember what we believe. He went and took the book. He left the mercy seat. It forms outside of the three stages. Just exactly, see, no doubt. You can't interpret nature. And I just put in there a little note about the series we did on Zero Comes After Laodicea, because it kind of goes with that about being formed outside of the three stages. Okay, so I didn't get back on a lot on invisible union in the marriage a lot, because we know a lot of that. So I got some of this other to bring us up. But here we're coming down to the end here. Jesus has come. He has sealed the 144,000. Now, he was setting the scene in the where we're reading in that scripture. He took 12,000 out of each tribe. But there is another group that doesn't belong in this 144,000 who are seen in verses 9 through 18. Who are they? They are the bride, taken from amongst the Gentiles. They are before his throne day and night. They serve him in the temple. They are the special care of the Lord. They are his bride. The bride goes wherever the bridegroom is. Now, we're not placing this way off somewhere, because we received this message And let's listen to what he says. The bride goes wherever the bridegroom is. Wherever he is, that's where she goes. She will never be left by him. She will never leave his side. She will share the throne with him. She will be crowned with his glory and honor. She will. He took your place so that you could stand in his place. And Brother Branham said, you are his glory, his righteousness. When you have his very righteousness, you are his proof that what he said he was going to do, he done it. And you're the judge. You're what he judges the world by. You're the manifested Christ of today. She will share the throne with him. What is the throne? That's where judgment comes from. She shall be crowned with his glory and honor. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And what is the name of God? Well, he was God with us, or Emmanuel, but that was not his given name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. Therefore, the name of God is Jesus, for that is the name he come in. No other gate will he meet us. That's it. He is Lord Jesus Christ. And what name does a woman take when she marries the man? She takes his name. When does she take his name? When she marries him. It will be his name that is given unto the bride when he takes her to himself. That's when we get his name, when we're married to him. None of the church ages, not all through the church ages. We take his name when we're married to him. Those that come in at the second resurrection, they don't take his name. They're not his brethren, Brother Bram said. That is so deep. There's a bunch in there. There's a whole lot in there. But this is when we take his name. Now, I know Brother Branham gave an example one time. He said, somebody was talking to him about being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he said, I don't go around and say, I sweep the floor in the name of whatever her husband's name was. I sweep the floor. I do this in the name of my husband. I do this. And Brother Bram said, he told Brother Bram, you don't have to do that. And he said, that's true. He said, but you had to become Mrs. Whoever by a ceremony. And people inject that the ceremony is water baptism. But it is being baptized into Christ is the thing, not water baptism. So I just wanted to pass that on. We had talked about that a while back. And thought that would be good for in the middle of the week here. So I'm just glad to be a part of him. Because he will cover all that we have need of. And I was thinking about that. He took your place so you could stand in his place. Mm-hmm. And how did he stand? We saw how he stood flawlessly before God, keeping every word by God's Spirit. And the bride is married to him. You know, Brother Ram said that he never took the bride out of the bridegroom until the cross. He never took her out. She was not out in the Garden of Eden. She was not out in Abraham's day. He was not out in the church in any time until there at the cross. It's when he took her out. Amen. As usual, try to say too much, but one of these days, maybe the Lord will help me just go really, really slow and break it down. But until he does, I have to do it ever how he gives it. And I appreciate y'all sitting so quietly and listening. And we thank the Lord for bringing y'all home safe, everybody, and bringing Nathan with you. And we look forward to what the Lord has in store for us, because we don't look forward to what the world has, because it's rotten. It's rotten. And it's hard to tell somebody that when they're young. And we're all been young before. And y'all still young. Me and Katrina's getting up there. But Brother Ram would say you passed 25 the second time. And we've definitely passed it the second time. And I told somebody at work the other day, I said, I'd be turning 55 in June. And I said, the Bible says that 5 means grace. I said, so this is going to be my grace year. And I said, I know I'll need it. I know I'll need it. So we appreciate him so much. We ask that you'll stand with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your word. And Lord, I can't make it live. No one can make it live but you, Lord. Jesus said himself that he did nothing unless you first showed him, Lord. And Father, you have put that same spirit in your bride today, and she will act the same way. I believe that you will bring that to pass. It won't be us that bring it to pass. We have never brought it to pass. It's always been you, Lord. It's always been your revelation, your grace to give it. It's always been you, Lord, bringing your seed, the words that you spoke out, Lord, through all that Satan could try to do to stop it. It doesn't matter. It's always been you, Lord, that's been bringing it to pass. And Father, we're so thankful we found ourselves amongst those few, Lord. We pray you'll be with each brother and sister and take care of each one, Lord. As we have mentioned earlier, that you'll help Brother Michael and the family there, Lord. And we pray you'll just watch over them in the days ahead and keep them, Lord, as the grief might come and go. And Lord, it's been 3 or 4 or 5 years now since Dad went on, and I still think about him, and it still hurts. And Lord, I pray you'll help them through those times. And just draw them closer to you, Lord, knowing that we have the promise, Lord, as Christians, that we never say goodbye forever. And we pray you'll go with us now through the week and help us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.